This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning world, good morning Kuala Lumpur. This is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar in studio today with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. But as always, we start the week with a recap on how global markets ended trading on Friday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So if we look at how markets closed, it wasn't a very good day. The Dow was actually down 0.2%. Nasdaq was down actually 2%. S&P 500 was down 0.8%. And if we look at Asia, Hong Kong was actually flat marginally. Shanghai was down, sorry, it was up almost 1%. Same as Japan, up 1%. Korea was down up 0.8%. And we look at Malaysia and Singapore, both up 0.3% actually.
Okay, and so for some thoughts on where markets are heading this week, we speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Good day, Kingsley. Always good to have you. As the world waits for more data on the Omicron variant, financial markets are probably going to act first and ask questions later. So what kind of short-term positions do you expect them to take on equities and fixed income? Is it risk on or off?
It's certainly risk off right now, although I thought it was interesting in your report that the non-US markets were actually up in many cases. Japan, they're up 1% on a trading session when NASDAQ closed down 2%. So, yeah, look, there's been general weakness in the US. Stocks like Pfizer, BioNTech and United Health had a good week over there. But outside of that, you know, it was a pretty vicious sell-off on Friday. And I think there's a combination of factors here. Obviously, with Omicron, you know, there's fears around another round of supply chain disruption. So autos and commodities are being weak. And I'd point out, for example, in autos, palladium, which is used a lot in catalytic converters, has really had a horror 6 months and down, you know, over 40%. And also tech, although it was a darling sector last year, a few stocks were spared Friday. I mean, Tesla capped a horror week with a 6.4% sell-off, and Bitcoin fell out of bed, rolled across the floor, and then fell down the stairs. It's been a real bad week for cryptocurrencies. But, you know, fixed income didn't move that much, and I think the US 10-year is just on a pause right now. So that's generally a risk-off environment. I think the good news is that the US seems to have avoided a government shutdown with some action last week. And so I think traders are just going to stay flat for now and maybe get a little bit more bullish as we get closer to the Santa period when a rally seems on the cards.
But Kingsley, we never know, right? Bitcoin might just dust itself up and start walking again like a miracle. I mean, it's been an extremely volatile asset class. But I just wonder whether the fact that Nikkei is actually up 1% while the Nasdaq is down close to 2%, and like you highlighted, a lot of tech stocks are down. Is it just fund managers locking in their gains? Because when you look at the year-to-date gains of some of these big losers on Friday, they have done extremely well, like Tesla.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. So there's going to be a bit of that. But I'll note that, you know, where there've been really big gains, as you mentioned, obviously Tesla's had a huge one, but solid gains in stocks like Microsoft did see a little bit of a sell-off. And I think you're right. The funds managers selling Apple and Microsoft at the margin because have had a great year, and also Google, that is, say, Alphabet. And so we may see people buy that dip. But elsewhere in the tech sector, I mean, if you look at stocks like DocuSign or Zoom, I mean, they're really getting carted out, and it's been a persistent downtrend for some time. So I think there's two things happening here: a narrowing into tech leadership in those names you mentioned, and also perhaps a flight from the profitless glamour stocks.
And if we stay on the tech theme, I think we saw some news over the weekend about DiDi's delistings over to Hong Kong. You know, so as a result, will Hong Kong be the sole beneficiary of capital inflows into the region?
Well, that certainly seems to be the intention behind these Chinese regulatory moves. You know, it seems like they've decided that because of the US measures from the SEC to tighten up regulation of Chinese listings on accounting standards. And secondly, you know, the US entity list sanctions against many Chinese mainland companies. I think the Chinese government's decided, well, we need to be self-sufficient in our ability to raise capital on the Hong Kong bourse and also Shanghai and Shenzhen. And that's what this seems to be about. You know, there's such a deep savings pool in China. Perhaps this is the right time for the Chinese market to consolidate in that fashion. But we'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, global investors still remain pretty nervous about future Chinese regulatory moves, given the extent of the haircut that we've seen in stocks like, you know, Alibaba or Baidu or others. So, it's a bit of a wait and see. But I think in a huge economy like China, it would be surprising if they didn't see their own markets consolidate from here and become a prime capital raising venue for Chinese companies.
And if we turn our attention to commodities, commodity prices seem to have recalibrated to the downside of late after running hot for months. What catalysts are needed to reverse their current downward trend? Or is this correction kind of long overdue?
I think it is a correction. And the point I'd make here is that commodities tend to move upwards in nominal terms, and then they reprice downwards in real terms. So to explain what I mean there, right now, if you look at copper, of course, it's at record highs, but it had a long period of going sideways for more than 20 years with a few ups and downs. So the real cost of copper, even though it's at nominal highs, is actually lower than it was, say, 20 years ago, in 2008, 2007. So I think that's partly what happens. But in terms of catalysts, what we need to see happen, I think, is the Chinese regulators retreat from the price controls and quotas that they were running last year on steelmaking and energy-intensive commodities. That already seems to be happening. So I think we're starting to see early signs of a rally in iron ore as people look to restock in the steel mill industry post the Winter Olympics that comes in February. And the other factor, of course, is Omicron. Markets are very nervous right now about another second hit to supply chains. So we just need to see what happens there. But we remain, cautiously optimistic that this is going to be a long-term commodity cycle, a bull cycle, and that, in fact, this present period of weakness is probably going to give us with some good buying opportunities going forward. But you probably want to keep your powder dry until we're well into the first quarter next year.
Kingsley, thanks as always for the chat. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his take on some of the trends that may be moving markets this week, capping our conversation with a look at commodities and where they're headed.
I find it interesting about the selective narrowing of the tech stocks of how you select. I always wonder, as we end the year, right, you was mentioning this center rally. Should you buy on the dip or sell at the rally?
Well, it depends. Are you very into the money or are you not very into the money?
Yeah.
So it depends on your risk-reward profile, right? So if you're a typical, let's say, investor, professional investor, and you're sitting on gains of 20-30%, and your benchmark return given to you is 8, what do you think you're going to do? You are just going to take some money off the table immediately, right?
Yeah, and as you said, you were saying, right, keep the powder keg dry for next first quarter if he sees a lot of opportunities for the quarter first next year.
Yeah, because at the moment, right, Omicron, that's like the word on everybody's mouth in the
only
day, right? So you're wondering, what should I do? You know, what happens if global growth actually recedes and global growth forecasts get cut suddenly? Because we already saw Goldman Sachs do that for US. So, you know, fund managers are nervous, right? They want to know what's going to happen. So they rather just take some money off the table at the moment. So it makes a lot of sense. And if you still need to stay invested, which a lot of fund managers need to, you just hide in quality. Hence, stick to Alphabet, stick to Microsoft, names that you know that will deliver regardless.
And maybe don't try Bitcoin, because we did see that over the weekend, Bitcoin took a huge plunge. It shed a fifth of its value on Saturday, plunging to a low of near $43,000. I mean, we've been seeing it hover at $57,000 for the longest time, and now it's all the way down to $43,000.
It's crazy, crazy trading. I mean, would you all buy this? I mean, I think if you did, you really need to understand, or at least you need to keep it as a small percentage of your portfolio. Not to say you shouldn't buy it, but the volatility is amazing. And at the end of the day, right, there's all these like little bits of like shocking news, like certain exchanges being banned and then some money somehow disappearing from these wallets.
That's right. That's the headline coming out of Bitmart. They are a cryptocurrency trading platform. Apparently, the CEO, Sheldon Hsia, tweeted that hackers withdrew about $150 million of cryptocurrencies from Bitmart wallets. I think they're still trying to get to the bottom of this, but this is just another very worrying headline in terms of the safety safety of these crypto markets?
I mean, I think this is the fundamental concern with Bitcoin. I think with Bitcoin, the goal was that it was using blockchain, the distributed ledger, to ensure that there's all this encryption and safety and security in place. The fact that there's a hacker that could apply for Bitcoin, I think adds a lot.
Was it Bitcoin or is it like all the cryptos?
All cryptos under BitMart, yeah. I think.
Exactly. So this is, I think, particularly worrying because the whole point of crypto is that it leverages on blockchain as a technology.
And can I just very quickly talk about this headline that caught my eye? And this is regarding another form of cryptocurrency called Army Coin. This is being sold by a platform called BitGet, and they've been suspended by the Singapore financial regulator because they were promoting Army Coin as a means to provide BTS, the K-pop group, with pensions. And this was false. Army Coin and BitGet don't have anything to do with BTS, and so Singapore's financial regulators have suspended BitGet from the markets at the moment.
Wow, I mean, what can we say? I mean, are these like honestly, alleged scams or what?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's fascinating. It's fascinating and something that I'm going to be keeping watch on for
sure. It went on like dynamite.
We should play the song now, shouldn't we?
I think so, like butter.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.